Hello again, this is Fiona. It's December 11th, Monday, December 11th, and I'm stepping in for Tony again. I'll give you guys a few moments because I know that you guys get a notice and you'll probably trickle in. Let's just see who shows up. Hello, people. Hello, it's Fiona. Helen wants to call in. Hi, Helen. Yeah. Hang on. How do I do that? Oh, it disappeared. Did you still want to call? So I'll just recap from yesterday in case anybody missed it. Tony is out. He's dealing with some frequency stuff going on in his house and in his whole area, and his body's not doing so good. So he's in transition. So a few of us want to help out, and he suggested I jump on here and talk to you guys. So here I am. Sydney, did you, or Sydney, sorry, Helen in Sydney, did you want to call? I saw it looked like you were, oh, it's Zach. Zach, how you doing? Sorry, I forgot that was you. That was you. Okay, well, let's give these guys a few minutes to get in here before you call in. I asked Zach if you'd want to come in today because he did a pretty good video, at least one anyway. I haven't seen all your videos yet, Zach. So many things to keep up with. But you did one on zeolite, and was it just zeolite or zeolite and something else? But anyway, I want to hear Zach's research on zeolite because there's so much back and forth about that. And I know you guys have talked about that too here. And Tony had just says, no, don't do it. And I've read the toxicity studies too. But I know a couple of people who seem to be pretty sure that they've found some kind of zeolite that's the micron sized. I'm gonna have to find out what that is because I'm not really sure. Because I told them about the nano and how harmful it can be. And they're like, oh, really? And they're very, I trust that these guys are very diligent in their research because, you know, they have family members who are suffering from certain things and they really look closely. But I don't know. I kind of don't really want to touch it. You've done five on silica. That's the other one I was thinking of. Silica. Oh, you got some material. Sweet. Okay, well let's wait for a couple more people to come in. We've got five people live anyway. I'm sure that there'll be lots of people on the recorded call. So I figure we probably won't go more than an hour. We'll see how it goes, what kind of questions or comments you guys have. And other than zeolite and silica, there's one other topic I thought I would bring up, and that's of the topic of like deja vus. Think of the Matrix. So we'll come back to that. All right. Okay. Zach, are you able to call? Or should I? Maybe I think there's like an invitation I can click to get you to invite. Oh, you're in a different category there. What happened to Tony? Yeah. I put it. An announcement out last night. Tony's dealing with some crazy frequencies in his area, and it's really affected him, his body. He's really in some pain and stuff. He's okay. He's alive, and but he's got to make some changes around his place, so he can't make it. So this is Fiona. Fiona Labbing to you here. Hopefully Tony will be back ASAP. How do I get? Oh, here we go. Okay, Zach, I'm inviting you.
Hello.
Hey!
Hey, Fiona, how are you?
Good, how are you? Now, I can hear you.
You can
Can
hear me?
everybody else hear you, do you think? I hope.
I think probably everyone else can hear me if you can hear me.
Okay,
Should
good.
be work.
Cool. Awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, I got an
Yeah,
echo.
Is it gone now?
Testing. Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, it was just
Okay.
there. Hang on. It's kind of weird. It's come and go.
I think it's probably when we accidentally talk at the same time.
Okay. Okay.
But I just wanted to thank you on behalf of our entire community for holding down the fort and making that podcast yesterday. We really appreciate it. So
Oh,
thank you
you're
for that.
welcome. You're welcome.
And I'm sure Tony also appreciates it a lot. You know,
Yeah, well,
hope
I mean, everybody, there's so
make
many
him
people on
hold
this
on this
chat that everybody looks
everybody
forward
looks
to it. I
forward
know
to it.
that
I know
the
that the
information that he puts out there is it's been life-saving for a lot of us, right?
thousands of people. It's truly incredible his like Tony's reach. Yeah, but I think now, like in the interim, with you as a stand-in, I think we need to change the show's name. I was thinking like Fioni Pantelaresco show. We could have like an official intro, for example, like "Welcome to the Fioni Pantelaresco show." And of course, if this is my voice, then it's like, "I'm not your host, Zach from Power of the Pulse, broadcasting to you from my mother's account, and this is independence.podbean.com."
Hey, that's
Hey,
perfect.
that's perfect. Yeah, what do you think? Because I think this is recorded, so anyone can download it. I think we just need someone talented, put a bit of intro music, and there we go.
Awesome. Yeah, so okay, tell me. Okay, so you said that you've done a number of videos on silica and at least one on zeolite. So, and I know
Yeah,
that
I
everybody here has talked about it quite a bit, but I still think it's worth talking
worth
about
talking about.
just because there's so much on both sides. Like the people who are advocating for it seem very, very sure that it's safe.
It's safe.
Right?
Yes,
Right?
that's the thing that you find in common with basically all of the nano solutions, or the solutions that at least in our community we kind of look at and say, I mean, like, for example, when I first started researching, or trying to do my own research on CC, I'd heard a lot of Tony's stuff talking about this, and it's like, yeah, it makes sense. And then you go on Google and you search like C60 toxicity, carbon 60 toxicology, and you start getting into this thing, and you get the first thing you get is like a paper from 1998 saying, oh, antioxidant action. And so this is a thing that you'll find with a lot of the what I call the supplement psyops. And particularly, I can't speak about a lot of the supplements or solutions that aren't nano. But I've specialized as much as I can with the nano ones, so the nano supplement psyops. And a recurring theme is that there are papers originally that might suggest that these things are good, that might suggest that these things have functional utility or may be beneficial. But then when you start asking questions, when you start going a bit deeper, when you start looking into the references, when you start looking into the method of the studies, that's when the claims start to become questionable. And then if you dig further, the questions start becoming clearly problematic. The claims start becoming clearly problematic. And so it's actually interesting because with zeolite, there's actually not a lot of actual scientific evidence in vivo, in actual humans. They're like, oh yeah, we can use zeolites for heavy metal removal in soils. But I think the part they forgot to tell you is that, well, it's the zeolite is destroying the soil microbiota. Or alternatively, actually, this is a point that I thought about that I'd bring up later. But with the surface area, because when we know that when we take materials to the nanoscale, the surface area increases dramatically. So we get a much smaller particle or structure, but we get a lot more surface area. And this surface area, like from an agriculture and permaculture perspective, this is actually this surface area becomes breeding ground for tons of microbiota and bacterial life. So in the soil, this may be a good thing. In the human body, questionable. But we can talk about that later. And this feeds into another one of what Tony says. But I have a full list. I have, let's see here, 8 points why why zeolite should not even be considered.
Okay,
but
before,
okay,
you, go into, before you go into the list,
can I ask, I'll ask a question, and I'll put you everybody.
Yeah, yeah, I want to, yep, yep.
This may be on your list.
On your list.
Oh, I'm still getting,
I'm still getting that echo.
Hang on. I wonder if there's something,
I can do for you.
I'm just going to switch
my headphones.
Cool. Take your time.
Can you guys still hear me?
Yep.
Oh, that's
perfectly clear. Oh, no.
It's weird. It's like off and on. I think you're right, though, Zach. I think maybe when your voice just trails out. Then I start to echo, so it's okay. I'll deal with it. Someone has their speaker on, maybe. Do you have? Are you on like a computer speaker?
Okay. This.
I'm using headphones so that my microphone doesn't pick up your voice.
Okay, got you. Sorry. Noob moment. Here we go. Okay, can you hear me?
Hello. Can you guys on the other end hear the echo? Oh, that's better.
Can you hear me? Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
I can hear it, but it's very, very faint, so it's much better. Okay, so my question / comment was one day we were talking about zeolite. I think it was in our Zoom group. I think we came down to the conclusion that, yes, the zeolite will attract the heavy metals like aluminum or lead or whatever. Like, let's say you consume it, and the aluminum and other metals will be attracted to the zeolite, but does that then actually get flushed out of the body? And I think we were saying, well, actually, no, there's no proof of that. Am I correct, or is that wrong from what you know?
Listen, I can only speak for my research. I can only speak from my experience and my understanding of things, because we can look at the same thing and come up with different theories. But for me, that could be a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the possibility that in certain conditions, especially inside the human body, zeolites are not even effective as holding on to heavy metals.
Okay.
But I've heard somewhat of a spin-off of what you mentioned from Tony himself that talks about this, because you know the structure of zeolite. Zeolite, or specifically clinoptilolite, which is the zeolite that is recommended to us for human consumption, because there are different types of zeolites. For other things, but for human consumption, it's usually clinoptilolite. So with the structure of clinoptilolite, it's like basically like a lattice. And what happens is that you have this space inside the structure, inside these like cells, like kind of like honeycomb cells, I guess you could refer to them as. And
right.
In this honeycomb structure, in these cavities, you can have other nano buildup. And so when we talk about nano's natural ability to attract other nanoparticles to itself and to self-assemble, self-assembly is not only necessarily a weaponized, programmed feature. Self-assembly can happen naturally inside any living organism with nanomaterials. They just become attracted to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they also attract biomolecules. So they also attract lipids. They can attract DNA. They can attract bacteria. Did I mention proteins? So once you have this structure that's already supposedly good at attracting heavy metals, what you get is this this assembly process where this technology is coming together and forming structures inside of the body. These structures may not necessarily be, you know, weaponized by DARPA or whatever it is. These structures could just be naturally extremely, extremely problematic inside of our body. This is forming a type of synthetic biology where we have a emerging of synthetic materials and biological materials. So what happens then is that you have this toxicity, for example, with protein corona. So without going on another tangent here, the protein corona is a phenomenon where when you put nanoparticles inside biological organisms, you get this the nanomaterial attracts proteins around it in this kind of like corona shape. So now there's this toxicity that is being masked by all of these proteins and lipids, and it's now becoming a breeding ground for bacteria and for nanotechnology self-assembling. That doesn't sound like a very good idea to me. And this whole idea of, oh yeah, but the zeolite comes out of the body. Well, it's like, do you understand how nanotechnology works inside the body?
Right. And if those particles do construct into a larger organism, you know, it is an organism, synthetic biological organism, even if, as you say, it's not specifically, the goal isn't specific to DARPA or something, you know, big and threatening like that, we're all still being exposed to frequencies which can interact with those particles, which can then get them active.
Exactly, 100%, 100%. But I wanted to ask you as well, because I think at the very start you mentioned micron-sized zeolites.
Yeah. That's a friend of mine said, I told him, I'm like, no, I don't think you should use zeolite because pretty much all zeolite is in the nano size. So he went diving into it, and he's pretty sure that he found one that is actually a micron size, but I have to find it. I think it's this one called Cell Defender, but I'm not really sure. I'm going to read do you know that one?
I don't, but I can speak to that a little bit from now.
Let me read you the first.
If you want. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll read this first, and we'll see if anybody else has ideas on this. And I don't mean to pick on a certain brand. It's just the one that I know of right now for sure.
This program is not in any way affiliated with said products.
That's right. We're not promoting anything, and we're not telling you how to. Blah blah blah. You know all the disclaimers. Okay, it says here Cell Defenders, the only micronized and activated zeolite colloidal suspension in the world. So maybe he's looking at micronized. it is the original colloida. Okay, I think this is the word you said. Hang on a second. I have to sound this out. Oh my God. Noptilolite zeolite?
Yep.
Is that what it is?
Clinoptilolite.
Clinoptilolite. Okay, now you mentioned that.
Yes. So, oh my God, Fiona, where's the start here? Okay.
Let me read the rest of it because it's pretty much what you just described, just so we're on the same page as these guys. In clinoptilolite zeolite product and supported by over a dozen clinical studies, including trials published in peer-reviewed journals. Zeolite is like a tiny, negatively charged cage that pulls in a variety of toxic substances in the body and forces their excretion. This includes heavy metals as well as volatile organic compounds like benzene, dioxine, and then it makes you healthier. So they're saying that it does excrete from the body.
Yep. Okay. Hang on, my headphone fell out. Let me put this back. Okay, so there's a few elements here that we need to talk about. Firstly, micronized, in my experience, is actually a synonym for nano. Now, this is actually very, very, very sneaky, and it's one of the many deceptive synonyms that the industry uses for nano. So I have, I think, 8. Molecular manufacturing, monomolecular, monoatomic, atomic, zero-dimensional, angstrom, micronized, microfine, ultrafine. All of these are used in the supplement industry and some other industries. You may find it like used in like painting, textile, stuff like that, car mechanic products, stuff like that. But all of these are actually synonyms for nanoparticulate matter, nanoscale materials. And you also have nascent iodine, which is nano. And then also when you talk about like liposomal supplements, then that could also be like a nanoliposome. But not only that, when you talk about micron, let's assume that this wasn't saying micronized, which is definitely a synonym for nano.
Mm-hmm. Let me break it down again before you go on. So looking at a regular Wikipedia, micronize says it usually refers to the reduction of average particle diameters to the micrometer range, but can also describe further reduction to the nanometer scale. Unless they specify, you don't know. And the other thing you mentioned, the liposomes.
Yeah, liposome just means fat, basically, a lipid package for delivery. So what we have in the lipid nanoparticles is a nanoliposomal delivery system where the fat, basically the lipids, can deliver better the payload.
Yeah. But you can also, if it's liposome, you can liposome anything.
You can have a regular micron sized liposome.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfectly normal, yeah. Okay. Yeah, anything, basically almost anything in my experience when I looked at this, when I tried to rationalize how this actually works, like what actually is nano, it's like, well, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
I still hear myself echo though.
Sorry, my headphones fell out. When you have, you could basically nano-size anything, I think. I mean, and you can micro-size anything as well. That's just the natural elemental size. But if we're to assume that this wasn't micronized, let's assume that this clinoptilolite, this zeolite, is micron-sized, right? Okay. It doesn't actually matter that it's micron-sized. Now, why is that? Firstly, because it's an aluminium silicate, so there's no reason to put aluminium and silica in your body, even if it's regular-sized. Aluminium silicate. Pass me the aluminium silicate shaker. I want to sprinkle some on my roast chicken. Like what aluminium? No, I'll just stick to sodium chloride. All right, but the thing here is that because of the structure of clinoptilolite, because of the structure of zeolite in general, really, is that even if the entire width and diameter, or the width and the height or length of the clinoptilolite, of the structure itself, because of the honeycomb structure, you still have nanoscale dimensions inside the structure. You still have nanoscale dimensions, nanoscale dimensions that are interacting with everything around it, because it may be net, like the net size is micron, but inside of it, you have nanoscale dimensions, nanoscale like cavities or honeycomb structures.
That makes sense. That makes, yeah, total sense. Mm. Okay.
Was there anything else they mentioned, or was it just that it's micronized?
Let me see. Yeah, let's pick it apart and see what they say. So, okay, so colloidal, activated zeolite colloidal suspension. The only micronized and activated zeolite colloidal suspension in the world.
Mm. Yeah, that's a bunch of marketing, as Tony would say, the guru shmuro, the goofy guru shmuro, I have a lamp to sell you on Mars kind of thing. With all due respect.
Yeah. Here's something interesting. The next sentence is, the zeolite is like a tiny negatively charged cage that pulls in a variety. Now, they don't say it is. They say it is like. Now,
like a cage, right.
I've noticed in like so many things in the past few years that even a tiny little word like that could be deceiving. It's like this, or it is this. What is it? You're not saying what it is. You're saying what it's like.
Yes. You know? Very, very observant. Thank you for noticing that out. I didn't notice that. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, Cell Defender. I didn't mean to pick on you, but we got to pick on somebody, I guess. If we're going to look at this stuff.
I think as people, I think as, you know, a community that's been blessed with, you know, probably a lot more knowledge than other communities have, and I'm seeing this all the time, especially with, and you talked about this on your interview with Tony, your latest one on your channel, your BitTube channel, a great interview, and you mentioned like, oh, I'm seeing a lot of graphene detox protocols, and you asked him, like, our community, I think, has a bit of a duty, or at least personally, let me talk for me, like, I think because I've been blessed with you know, some extra knowledge or a different perspective, I just have the responsibility to talk about that information and present it in the best way I can, which also, you know, furthers my understanding. And then, you know, people can interpret it as the way they want. They can interpret it the way they want. Because personally, I wouldn't have really bothered with zeolite or silica. For me, it's like, oh yeah, Tony says they're bad, whatever. But I've had two different discussions, maybe 6 months or more apart, with different people in my, basically my local community, that, you know, think they're hip and think they're woke and think it's like organic and all natural. And they're coming over here and they're like, oh yeah, you know, in WhatsApp groups, oh yeah, go to my health food store and buy zeolite. It's so great. It will change your life. Like,
yeah.
And I say, just like, dude, can we like have a discussion about this? Mm-hmm. I have some information that this may not be a good idea, and make of this information what you want, and they will absolutely blow up. I call them zeolite zealots, because the people that, it's not like, and I made a video about this, it's not like, oh, vitamin C is good. Take vitamin C, it's a great antioxidant. It could, you know, reverse oxidative stress or help deal with oxidative stress. It'll prevent DNA damage long-term. Take vitamin C, and if you want, I have a you know, health food store, you can buy it from there. Support a local person that's trying to change the world and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. People that support these health food, I'm going to say it again, sorry, supplement psyops, particularly the nano supplement psyops, they are zealots about their products. And it's about that magic pill. It's about that cure-all. It's about, you know, the one product that the miracle product that they're going to convince everyone to make, and they're going to solve all the world's problems and become millionaires and retire to the Bahamas early. Like, hang on.
Well, you know, I think that it's interesting that you bring up that, I like that term, the supplement psyop. That kind of brings us sort of to the psychology behind the health food industry and, you know, health stuff in general. And I was just thinking to myself, now what gets people so riled up that when you tell them, don't take zeolite, that's bad for you. And I think it is because, as you just said, maybe they, you know, there's this idea that there is that one thing that's going to cure them. And I think maybe in some of the case, some of the time, some people are just so desperate to feel better that they latch on to something and they're like, oh, this is it. This is the thing. And then they're just, you know, then they're emotionally hurt when someone shoots it down, really, you know? And that's what the marketing has done to people. And that's why, like, when I tell people, you know, about the process that I use, which is a lot of it based on what Tony has taught us, I tell them, like, look, you got to work at it. It doesn't come overnight. You're probably not going to be able to stop ever. it's not a magic pill. And I think most people, they hear that phrase, oh, there's no magic pill, but they don't quite. The ones who are stuck on having that one thing that's going to get them better, I think those are the ones that get hurt about it. And that still just plays into, I guess, what, you know, we've been taught growing up. At least I have, you know, you're sick, you go to the doctor, they give you a prescription and you're fine like a week later. So we have this in our heads that there's that one thing that's going to make you better quickly and you'll be fine the rest of your life. And there just isn't now. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Where's Waldo says, and they put a lot of trust in these influencers. Yeah. I think a lot 100%. Of people, I think a lot of people believe it. And then there's probably, you know, then of course there's others who
they don't. Want to believe it. A lot of them need to believe it. Especially the more desperate people. Like, let's say this is a massive market, the parents of autistic children. They will do anything for their children. And it's just very easy to, you know, go from one goofy guru to the next, to the next, to the next. Join any Telegram and see how many affiliate links and see the, like, one paragraph or two paragraph pitch for every single affiliate link that they put for this shungite and then that shilajit. And then it's never like vitamin C, zinc, selenium. It's like, oh no, we have a special, supplement stack, you know, because we need to make, they need to identify themselves from the hordes. And of course the money isn't in selling just, you know, pure powders. The money is selling, you know, this nicely packaged product with, you know, green ticks and a really nice sales page that makes these parents feel like they're doing something, like they're in control. It's the business of selling hope. I think Yanni said this when we talked about it and he was absolutely right. It's the business of selling hope. And they're in the business, like these goofy gurus. You know, I hear some people say, oh no, this person's good, this person's bad, this person's smart, this person's clever. Like, whether this is a good person or a bad person, I can't be the judge of that. But I can look at their motivation. What motivates this person to post about Shilajit, for example, or about Carbon 60? These people need something to get behind, to sell their hope. And I think a lot of these people, they believe, I mean, some people like, oh man, we're just going to say it. I don't care. Anyone can hate me if they want. It's okay. I made a video where I called out SGT Report and, I didn't title it that because I didn't want this. It wasn't about starting beef with him, but he's an example of someone who will promote products and not even use them. And it's entirely clear. But a lot of these goofy gurus, like, they actually believe in what they're putting out there, but they're not incentivized to actually look deeper behind that one paper that says C60 is an antioxidant or that other paper that talks about silica being good, silica being healthy.
Well, you know, when it comes to the silica, the thing that I started to realize, that this was a while back, I was listening to Tony's show maybe 5 or 6 years ago. For, like, I think that's when I started listening, 2017. And there was this mention of silica. I went hunting for supplements that didn't have silica in them. Now, further back in time, I remember a lot of products, food and supplements having soy in it. That was the filler then. It was like, oh, soy is like this super health food. And they took it away because people were complaining about it and getting sick from it. And then it became silica. I went through maybe three health food stores in a couple of days, reading all the labels, looking for what I wanted. And I only found like maybe two or three that didn't have silica. And I went, holy crap, why the hell is silica in all of these? That's just, you know, ding, ding, that was a little red flag there for me. So,
100%.
Yeah, Vicky says, still the veggie capsules can be soy. Yeah, I don't eat those either. There's a lot of crap in those.
So here's the question, actually. Why would the food regulators or regulators, especially in the US, why would they approve silica as a filler for capsules and pharmaceuticals? Why would they approve that as a filler when they could just approve, I don't know, sugar? I'm not an expert on this stuff. Right. But if you think about it, like, surely sugar should be cheap, no effect, doesn't matter. It's just a filler. Or like maybe I don't know the supplement manufacturing process or the capsule filling process, but why do we need fillers to begin with?
Yeah. Well, I that's a good question. I guess just because they have a certain amount, like, I don't know, not even a quarter of a teaspoon of something is the drug, and then they want to put it in a capsule, so they have to fill up the capsule so that you can actually swallow it, I think. I think that's maybe why they put the fillers in. But yes, where's Waldo? Microcrystalline cellulose. Now, when I was checking out all these fillers, I had a prescription pill that I was having compounded, and I called the pharmacy and I said, "Hey, can you tell me what it's filled with?" And it was microcrystalline cellulose. I said, "I don't want that for my next one." They said, "Okay, well, how about they mentioned some other thing. I forget what it was." And I was like, "Nope, I don't like that one either." And then they said, "Rice flour." I went, "No, don't want that either." And they said, "How about vitamin C powder?" I'm like, ding, ding, yes. Why didn't you put the, like you're saying, like, why would they not, of course they don't want to do that because they want us to keep us sick.
That's awesome. I mean, props to you for even asking that and going down that route, because I didn't even know there was like vitamin C as a filler. That's amazing information.
Yeah, you really got to drill into them. But I mean, and it wasn't a commercial pharmacy. It was kind of a like more of a mom and pop pharmacy, foreign owned in Canada. So, they're a little more willing to look outside the box. Just reading the comments here, and many food products have their labels. Yeah, made with bioengineered products. Yeah, I've seen a couple of those around. Oof.
Oh yeah, that sounds good. Possibly some of that a burl. Pass me some of that,
Yeah.
not to eat, not to eat. I'll put it under the microscope. We can send it
Yeah.
to FM8. Have you
Yeah.
seen, like, he's been doing some amazing stuff over there.
Yeah, I
Amazing
saw
stuff under the microscope.
his last video. He was putting DMSO on some stuff and it was dissolving. That was pretty cool. I
Yeah,
love DMSO.
DMSO is a very strong solvent. And you may have actually heard, side notes, La Quinta Columna's talking about like dissolving graphene. And how are they dissolving graphene? They're dissolving graphene with antioxidants. Sorry, that's not how it works. But DMSO, there's a paper of DMSO actually dissolving graphene in vivo. Now, here's the thing. I have to pref not preface this. What's for after?
Disclaimer. Oh.
I have to add to the end of this that when we talk about any kind of like biological or molecular degradation of nanomaterials, even if we're talking, and this is like a requirement for me that I see an in vivo study in some sort of biological organism, not in a petri dish. But the thing is that, like, okay, how much DMSO are you going to use? I mean, if any of you have tried using DMSO with like the oil to dilute it burns. So, you can't saturate your cells with this stuff. Can you use it a little bit? Maybe. Could it, be possibly beneficial? Probably. But yeah, I have to add that disclaimer, as you said, Fiona, at the end, that like when we talk about like dissolving nanotech, it's like it's not that simple.
Yeah, I'm just going to read a couple comments here from the chat group. So Vicky asks, how can you do that at a compounding pharmacy? We can't do that here. Well, I was getting a compounded medication already, like it had to be compounded. And when I asked them what they were putting in for fillers, that's, we went down that train of how about this and how about that. That's it. That's all I did. I just asked them what they were putting in there. And Andrea says, been using the spike for 3 weeks, had four nano clusters fall out yesterday.
Awesome.
Congratulations. You have four
Congrat
new
exactly.
babies.
Congratulations.
Cherie wrote me an email today and I only have a triangle. She wrote this to me, please extrapolate more. Okay, so Paul's, this is from Cherie, I guess.
This looks good. This looks good. Read it, read it.
The spike deactivates the assimilating nanoparticles. And the triangle keeps them confused. They do two different things. The spike literally destroys them. The triangle confuses them. I would say true. And I would add on to that, that the triangle may also destroy them. But the spike, because it's a bit more intense, like a more direct shot. It's not a direct, like the rife and all that, but it's more intense. It's more of an explosion. Definitely feels like it's killing them, but confuses them. That's a good way to put it. But I think it still does kill some of it. Yeah.
It would if there's collision, and the idea is that. But I've actually never heard that before. That's very, very interesting insight.
Yeah. Someone asked me once, and they asked me, well, if I use the triangle or the bucket and I wipe out the program, so the example I usually give people is kind of like putting a magnet to your credit card, and you wipe the program out. And then somebody had asked me, sorry, I'm hearing the echo. They asked, well, can it be reprogrammed? And I've had this discussion with a couple of people, and I think that if it's destroyed, if you've destroyed those particles, then the answer would be no. But if they're not destroyed, I think it's possible, but you will destroy some of it. And you're not going to get every little bit out of your body in one session with the triangle anyway. So, like, don't worry about it. That's what I tell people, you're getting some of it, and you're getting ahead. So don't worry about it being reprogrammed.
Yeah, don't worry about it being reprogrammed. You'll ingest plenty literally the next day. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, it's personally, Fiona, I think that that's an interesting topic, because how do you define the nano program? That can mean a few different things based the properties of nanotechnology and the, you know, the different practical implementations that we can have. All right, if there aren't any comments, read out any comments you want. But
that's it, afterwards. I think. Do you have any more on your list?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even start my list for you.
Okay, pick one. Pick a topic and point and let's see.
So this is all in discussion of zeolites for your request. Okay. But maybe I should start with some terminology. So since zeolite is an aluminium silicate, which is a compound of aluminium and silica, although they're definitely not the same, and small changes on the nanoscale have very big different effects on the functioning, I class them together. So there's silica. Silica, a synonym of that is also silicon dioxide. They're the same thing. Incidentally, of course, there is high silicon dioxide content in sand.
Yeah.
And that's what you use to make glass. So when the scientific explanations fail, what I heard originally from my mum, and that I keep on repeating, my mum Helen in Sydney, by the way, if all of you are like, Helen in Sydney is a boy, would you drink sand? Would you eat sand? It will rip your intestines. Like, does that make sense? But so we have the zeolite, we have silica or silicon dioxide, same thing. We have bentonite clay, which is another aluminium silicate. And by the way, bentonite clay is used to seal dams. It's used to seal dams. So you excavate and then you get bentonite clay and you put it at the bottom of the dam or the pond so that the dam or the pond doesn't leak. It seals the water off.
Gives me a warm fuzzy feeling in my gut thinking about swallowing that.
Yep. Well, that is another miracle cure that will give you energy and help you detox and improve your brain function and blah, blah, blah. Amazing. And then there's dimaceous earth. So dimaceous earth is not an aluminium silicate. Dimaceous earth is a combination of the two types of silica. So you have crystalline and amorphous. And what... this is all nanoscale. What the dimaceous earth is actually this, also volcanic, by the way, same as zeolite. what you have is this volcanic nanoscale blades. And so what Dimaceous Earth is used is it's half crystalline, half solid. And these little nano-sized blades, if you sprinkle them out in your garden and you live in a cold climate, when slugs slide over this Dimaceous Earth, guess what happens?
It gets stuck in their little
scales. It's worse than that. The slug gets ripped open. It kills the slug from the outside. It rips it apart. And this is the Dimaceous Earth, or the diatomaceous Earth, that is the great, brain enhancer. And it's the same spiel every time, and great detoxer, and kills parasites and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, sure, it kills parasites. It probably also kills you. I wonder why. So that's Dimaceous Earth, and that's just pure silica, but two different forms put together. You have a question?
Nope, just listening.
Okay, cool. Feel free to interrupt me at any time, by the way.
Okay.
So I think those are the four main ones: bentonite clay, zeolite. There are, as I mentioned at the start, there are multiple types of zeolite, but the type that is marketed to us for human consumption is a type of zeolite called clinoptilolite. Which, has all of them have these alleged properties, but we'll also get to that in a minute. But the first argument here, the first point here, is that all of this stuff is nano. Mm-hmm. Let's just get that straight. It's nano. So now, for anyone that understands the properties and the actions and the way nano works inside of biological organisms, not micro-sized elements. This is not a regular thing. This is nano, and when we micronize, when we ultrafine, when we turn things to the zero-dimensional scale, when we take things to the nanoscale, properties greatly change. That's why nano is this massive problem, and this massive, so much research and so much military applications and medical applications and drug delivery and intrabody nano networks and wireless sensor networks and all of this stuff. It's because of the nanoscale, the unique properties. So the first thing...
play on the opposite side and say, well, hey, isn't... Maybe there's some kind of... Okay, like, just let's just play along for a second. Like, think of homeopathy, for example, how there's like a tiny amount of some kind of pathogen or bacteria or something like that, and that's given to someone so that their body, you know, forms a defense against it. Now, could that concept be transferred over to these nano, like maybe a tiny little bit of nano zeolite wouldn't hurt the body, but you got to stop at a certain amount? What kind of argument would there be to that?
That's a very interesting side way of approaching this, and I really love the way,
because I know people are going to say that.
Yeah, your thinking is amazing. So here's the thing. One particle of zeolite, one nanostructure, is not going to kill you. I always say this, like one, I talk about like lipstick, for example. This is a massive thing, though. A lot of women, like even the like naturopath, the healthy TikTokers, like they come on with all this lipstick. And the lipstick has this nanoscale iron oxide. There are three iron oxides. There's always three. Two are on the micron scale. One is on the nanoscale. So you have this thing. One application is not going to kill you. Two applications are not going to kill you. 500 applications. Applying this every day for 2 years probably won't kill you. Now, for very sensitive people, you may have reactions. You may have slight issues. You may have slight warning signs if you're very sensitive. And a lot of people I know in our community are quite sensitive. We're in tune with our physical being, or maybe we're... or maybe we're just sensitive because we've been you know, assaulted with this stuff so much. But when we talk long term, when we talk, like Tony Pantelaresco said this, and that really stuck with me, like we're not talking about one particle in a cell, we're talking about thousands, hundreds of thousands of particles in a cell, totally overloading the cell. So, and with the buildup, because when we understand that nanotechnology's a good percentage of the nanotechnology that we ingest is not actually excreted. It's not taken out of the body. It usually translocates, which means it moves around in our body and then accumulates. And this can be the unique properties of nanoparticles can then be utilized for like intentional accumulation in tissues or in organs. But this accumulation then happens over years, decades, multiple decades. And then what you have is a buildup of this highly toxic, cytotoxic, genotoxic, mutagenic, teratogenic material.
And I think what also people will sometimes forget too, or maybe they just don't know, is that, okay, maybe they're taking this zeolite that they're, or whatever nano stuff that they're taking for their health. Oh, it's just a little bit. I'm only taking a little bit. But then they forget or don't know that, you know, so many other things in our environment are loaded with it. The sky, the water, your clothes, even all the.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Fiona. I don't tell anyone what to do. So if someone wants to, they can take a little bit of mercury. Go get some vaccines. It's just a little bit of mercury. It's safe and effective. safe and effective amount. Titanium dioxide. What they did is they were using micron sized, regular sized titanium dioxide, and then it's like, oh, nano sized titanium dioxide is better properties, easier to manufacture, and suits our agenda. And makes everyone toxic, so we're funding everyone, you know, all the medical pharmaceutical complex or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And
let me just read this comment here before I lose it. Paul says, again, Cherie also wrote, you could speed your healing journey up greatly if you were using the spike for 5 to 10 minutes every day, drinking only distilled water and adding electrolytes of the proper proportions to it. Using your triangle in or out of the tub every single day, and following through with your anti-parasite remedies for the biological forms. Try putting the triangle at your feet and letting your feet rest on it for a bit. This is a great way to use it when you can't get into the tub.
I'll just butt in there very, very quickly, Fiona. Paul Cormier, you need to give Cherie a raise. Please just like give her a bit extra. Anyways, Fiona, what were you going to say?
That's it. That was the end of his comment there. I'm just going to see some more here. Andrea says, just need to do another row of something tape on my triangle. Okay, they're just chatting, I think. EL12. Yep. What about the nano learning, if not addressed before other natural remedies? Doesn't that only teach it to become smarter and stronger, if not dealt with initially? I'm not sure I get the question.
Okay, so I think what he's saying is that he might be a little new. So what about the nano learning? So here's the thing.
Like the program?
If you're disengaging the program, if you're disabling the innate properties of nanotechnology that predispose it to self-assembly, enter and integrate with our biology, then nano learning, that's maybe 20 years or maybe 10 years ahead of us right now. Like nano doesn't, Tony might disagree with me on this, but this is just purely from my own research. And obviously he's 20 years ahead of me in that research and 100 years ahead of me in life. But
really. Cut that out. Close your ears, Tony. No, just kidding.
No, I mean in a good way, like in experience and learning and understanding. But a nanoparticle on its own, does it really have intelligence? It may have properties that predispose it to certain activities that may appear to have intelligence. Maybe you could argue that it takes intelligence to self-assemble with other materials of the same form. It may, when we talk about nano's reactants to EMFs, but once you're disengaging this stuff, and then especially getting it out after disengagement, I wouldn't say it's something to worry about. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think so. Someone jumped in and said, Wade maybe thinking that it's like robotic, so it's learning. I suppose, I mean, at some point, maybe there's some kind of robotic structure in your body, yeah. But when you hit it with these, with the EMP, you're wiping it out, and you're probably, like you said, smashing them together. And then that's why you then expel them, they come out of the body. So there's no, yeah, it's not going to be coming back to life, I don't think. It's not the same as like a computer teaching itself. Right? Let me see here. Banish the nanish? What does that mean?
Banish the nanish. I love that. what was your question, Fiona, about the... We were talking about the homeopathics, right? And saying like, oh, nano is just homeopathic.
Well, it was just... you probably can't really transfer that concept, you know, the way that with the... But I can't say for sure because I don't exactly know how homeopathics work. Hang on, I have to get my thoughts because I hear my voice echoing. yeah, so with homeopathics, you have a teeny tiny amount of some kind of bacteria or pathogen that's given to someone. So their body builds up an immunity. That's not the same. Probably just scratch that, scratch that off the list. It's not the same as taking small amounts of the nano because it doesn't do the same thing. So anyway, sorry guys, I was just kind of thinking out loud.
Listen, Fiona, I really appreciate that. I think even like the so-called silly IDs or like dumb questions. I mean, I got an email a few days ago, like, I apologize for the dumb questions. Like, no, I take pride in consistently every single day asking the dumb questions.
But we gotta be clear, right? Because there's so much confusion.
And I'm grateful for everyone around me, especially like Tony, you guys. I'm very grateful that you actually like helped me out a little bit, guided me in the right direction, and didn't, you know, didn't call me crazy for asking the dumb questions when I didn't really understand anything and I was just, you know, forming my own opinions. But
that's what we do. We help each other out.
I love you guys, man.
So Jala or Jaja or Haha says, I remember Tony saying something about the nanotech learning from certain things, like maybe using a TENS unit or something. Right.
That's when the nano gets charged up. So yeah. I've been discussing this actually, and I personally, I'm sure you have some ideas on this, Fiona. I don't exactly know how the whole charged up thing happens, but I can tell you that if you hit a computer's RAM, random access memory, or the CPU with electrostatic discharge or lightning, you burn the chip.
Yeah.
If you provide it with consistent electricity, you power the chip. So I think this is the basic concept that we're working with here.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what we
anyways.
Did.
Yeah.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought again because I keep hearing my my voice echoing back.
I apologize. I think we wanted to get back to the zeolites. We kind of got sidetracked there. Would you like me to continue there or?
Yeah, let's go on one more point and then I think maybe we can close it up because I can't stay on for a whole 2 hours.
Okay, then I'll speed through this. So yeah, the first element here is that it's nano, and that should, you know, when we talk about general nanotoxicology, we're talking about entry route, translocation, so moving around the body, accumulation, possibly long-term accumulation. We're talking about with any nanoparticle, really, formation of something called reactive oxygen species, which inside the cell basically oxidizes the cells, creates oxidative stress, and will result in the cell producing basically glutathione. And this is something you'll see in the toxicological research where you see depletion of glutathione. Why is that? Because glutathione is produced as an antioxidant to deal with this toxicity. And so you have this this toxicity inside the cells, and you know, as Tony says, if we're taking this a lot, if we have a lot of accumulation, even in one dose, in a directly exposed area, we could have a lot of that nanomaterial or particle overloading the cells. The second thing is that specifically with zeolite, it's an aluminium silicate. So that doesn't make sense. Aluminium silicate, why should I put this in my body? Now, the thing that the goofy gurus will tell you is, oh no, but and this is with bentonite clay as well, oh, but the aluminium is caged. The aluminium will not interact with your biology. Excuse me, I'm putting something inside my body and you're telling me this won't interact with my biology? The whole idea is that this will enter my cells and detoxify my cells. And even if we were to assume that it's caged, I read from a paper that Tony put out when I was or sent me, sorry, when I was doing my research on this. And it's a paper, sorry, an article from an anti-vaxxer professor that said that aluminium is known to potentiate, and I'm quoting here, or make mercury more potent. Aluminium is known to potentiate or make mercury more potent. So let's assume this is not doing anything else. If we're using this for a heavy metal toxic person or an autistic child, this is just causing more damage because these heavy metals are interacting with each other. So why, how does this work for me to solve a heavy metal problem by putting a heavy metal inside of myself? Now, aluminium is not classed as a heavy metal. However, for toxicological purposes, because of its incredible toxicity, it can be classed as, it can be classed as. Sorry, this is the problem when you get notifications and you just lose your train of thought. That's why it can be classed as a heavy metal. And this is another thing, like, oh yeah, take nano to solve the nano problem. No, that doesn't make sense.
You
And
know
then
that's
the
that that flipping of flipping things upside down, you know,
totally.
making getting people to believe. Just like going against common sense, basically.
Yep, 100%. And so then number three is just understanding the basic properties of nanotechnology, cytotoxicity. So this is toxicity to cells, genotoxicity, being toxic to genetic material, mutagenicity, causing mutations. So this is one of the properties, one of the things when we talk about nanoprogram is that this nano is interfacing with our biological operating system, with our DNA, and with our other programs, which is, you know, the RNA, the mRNA that carry out functions inside the cell. This nanoparticulate matter, let's say, is causing, whether intentionally or not, is causing mutations, is changing our program. And then teratogenicity is causing genetic aberrations, causing genetic mutations inside of embryos, inside of fetuses, inside
Spell
of
that for me. Terrazzo.
Teratogenicity.
How do you spell that?
Teratogeniciity.
Terrato.
Genicity. I sometimes forget and I say teratotoxicity. You can, but it's referring to genetic mutations in unborn babies, basically. And so you have oxidative stress, which can also damage the DNA. This is a massive problem. And with silica, you have this phenomenon of crystallization in the bloodstream. So sure, you have your translocation, but this stuff it will be absorbed into the bloodstream. And it can also crystallize there. Now, I don't know what happens. I know that it can crystallize within a few hours. I don't know long term. This is probably a question for you or FM8 Eric or Tony. But you know, what happens with the crystals? Do they dissolve again? Do they stay that way? I don't know. But this is also another issue that I don't want things, you know, synthetic or natural particles crystallizing in my blood. That's very basic
No.
common sense to me. You know, some people, you know, they like injections, they like crystallization, they like carbon C60, because then, you know, they get the vaccine and they feel bad, then they're like, oh, somebody save me, and then it's like, oh, nano silver, nano gold, carbon 60, terahertz ones, yeah, it's all good. But then number four is organ damage. So when you scale up this cytotoxicity, genotoxicity, and mutagenicity, oxidative stress, DNA damage, what you have is organ failure causing any, this is what Tony says, nanoparticles can, nanotoxicity can cause any pathology, can create any problem.
Any part of the body, yeah, any organ, because any tissue.
Exactly, because it can go to any part of the body and it could cause just basic damage to any part of the body. And then, of course, you have the possible estrogenic effects of nanometalloestrogens. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about plastics disrupting, being endocrine disruptors. What about nano that is so much more potent and dangerous? And also, a side note, a lot of the microplastics is actually degrading into nanoplastics. So that's another problem. And we know that we consume a credit card per week. I don't have the reference, but I've heard it from a number of... Actually, I shouldn't have said that since I don't have the reference. But I've heard it from a number of sources, so I'm quite confident that I could actually get the reference there. A credit card worth of microplastics every day inside of our body... every week inside of our body. So where's that going? And then we have the unique properties. So this is generally... nano kind of toxicity, not necessarily specific to silica, but we have, of course, the infertility effects. So specifically, as Tony says, the shredding of the seminiferous vesicles or the tubes in the testes that that produce, create the process in which spermatogenesis occurs or takes place. That is. The scientific term is altering the structure of the seminiferous vesicles. So this is damaging or destroying our ability to produce sperm. And then in the epididymis, storing the mature sperm safely, that is also attacked. But then specifically to silica, so this is point five, we have this phenomenon of silica shutting down communication between cells, shutting down the gut microbiota brain axis, this connection that between, you know, our second brain, between the gut microbiome, so not our own cells, the bacteria inside of our gut with our brain, disrupting this connection. You know what disrupting this connection creates? You know what the problem that disrupting this connection creates? What it does is that it affects your ability modulate your mood, your feelings of happiness or depression, because this system controls or is at least partly responsible for production of neurotransmitters, and this involves the vagus nerve, which also is responsible for the autonomic nervous system, which has implications in like digestion, respiration, things that we do autonomously, basically. And so
this kind of makes sense. If you have a stomach ache or bad, you know, stomach issues, I don't know about you, but I get feeling like really short tempered and angry. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that's my stomach. My stomach hurts.
that's an interesting one. I don't know about that. But what I do know is that, did you say like you're not feeling well emotionally and then you realize that that's from your gut?
Yeah, sometimes if I'm feeling, especially if it's like an anger or short temper, I'll catch it and then I realize, oh, you know what? I actually have a stomach ache.
Yep, 100%. 100%. That is absolutely. That is a definitely. That makes sense because this system does is it connects the gut with the central nervous system, and exactly that's responsible for your mood. Not entirely for your mood, of course. We're very, very multidimensional, sophisticated beings. But
let me answer Vicky's question here. What are some of the parasitic detox that you both like using? You both like using before doing the triangle bucket or spike. You know what I do? I like to use the triangle or spike or whatever, but I put one of those two on my liver and my gut. And then I take STS right before bed, both of them. Also turpentine, you can put turpentine in an enema, just a one little drop. along with ozone, like ozone water, with a bit of salt, and a drop of turpentine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would use. Cherie says, don't forget the ovaries. They get attacked by silica as well. Yeah.
Yes, you have damaging the oocytes. You have damaging even follicles that have not. You have like what's it called? Follicles that are still not mature yet, and mature follicles,
and the vagus nerve.
This is building up from the bottom up, as Tony always says. This like really hit me the first time he said it, and I heard it, and it's like. When we talk about cell mitosis and meiosis, so we're talking about a cell becoming two cells. You have nano in this cell, and this cell splits, it divides. So now you have nano in both cells. Now you have nano in the sperm that creates a child. You have nano in the eggs. You have nano in the amniotic fluid inside the womb. And you have nanotechnology that is constantly throughout the pregnancy crossing the placental barrier. So this child, this fetus, it is a miracle that we have functioning babies. And this is a testament to how incredible our body is and how incredible our God-created biology is that we can deal with this kind of toxicity. But that comes at the issue where we're finding all of these children with multi-generational genetic damage, with now the nano component added to that, that we're starting to see more and more apparent mutations and earlier childhood issues.
Right. So Vicky says too, has anyone noticed how the young kids from, I don't know what IVF stands for, are so much more intelligent? What is it?
In vitro fertilization. It's where they take the egg out and then they inseminate it in a petri dish and then they put it back in.
They're so much more intelligent and into computers even by the time they are one or two. Oh, the echo just went down. That's good. It must be all the nanotech in the preparation of in vivo insertion. Could be. Anti B says titanium dioxide. Lots of that in food. They're in drugs too. And
endometriosis and ovarian cysts are nanotoxicity. I don't know. I'd refer to Cherie on that. Cherie and you guys know about that.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little story about that. First, Zach, you're still on your headphones, right?
Yep.
Okay, I don't know why there's an echo.
I haven't moved at all.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to switch my headphones one more time. Okay. Oh my goodness, I think that's helping. Still there, but okay, so endometriosis and ovarian cysts. Long time ago, I was diagnosed with an ovarian cyst, and the doctors thought I had endometriosis. So endometriosis is when the endometrial tissue from the inside of the womb grows outside the womb. And apparently it can grow all the way as far as like the lungs, and it causes a lot of pain, especially during the period. The only way that they, you know, they're in the allopathic way to truly diagnose that is to do surgery and open you up and look.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I never got the surgery, and I had horrible, horrible periods for about 8 years, and about 3 months into using the bucket and cutting out certain foods, that was the first major thing that I noticed was my period came and I didn't have the pain. And I was like, what? Something's going on here. Like, this bucket thing works. And I saw fibers coming out of the vagina. I collected some. I put them under the microscope and everything. Some of you guys have seen the pictures. And that was when I went, Oh my God, there is something there. And I'm convinced that endometriosis is nanoparticle assembly in the body. So Sharice says, yeah,
did iodine help, considering that, you know, iodine is so important in thyroid function and with hormones? Were you using iodine at that time?
You know, I was using it, but I was using so many different things at the time that I don't know what was helping. Like, I was trying every little thing, or I'd switch. And the only thing, see, the one thing that helped me get out of being super sick before I learned about the nano stuff was some naturopathic treatments. Like, I did ozone and laser IV, and I did some herbs, but I was still relapsing. And I was taking iodine, but it just, you know, it was kind of like, you know, spitting into the wind. Just really didn't do much until I started doing the bucket. So once I got rid of the nano out of the body, then those other things I could were more powerful.
Yep, apps. Yep, that's beautiful. Yep.
Yeah.
Fiona, have you noticed the all the nano iodines all over the place?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Have you noticed all the nano iodines everywhere, popping up everywhere?
No. I noticed that I have seen around, but I haven't noticed a lot.
All right. Well, did I mention this? I think I might have mentioned this earlier, but nascent iodine.
Yes.
Nano. And that's the one our good friends, what are they called? InfoWars, our good friends over at InfoWars. Yeah, that's the one
they like that?
Promote quite heavily, yeah. And it's some of the ones that aren't even called nascent and aren't even labeled nano are actually nano. It depends on the electrical charge that they run through the solution. One is DC, I forgot which one is which. One creates micro-sized particles, one creates nano-sized particles. And so if you ever hear like, oh, they used an electric charge and they created these really small particles, yeah, that's, I wouldn't risk it.
Okay. Stay away from that. I'm gonna have to shut it down pretty soon here, you guys. Let me just see the comments here.
Okay, that's perfect. If anyone's interested in the continuation of the 8 points regarding zeolite and silica, and if anyone,
how many points did we get through? Five.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, how long? There's only three left. Let's just do it.
Okay, so the next part is the possibility of silica being used as a carrier, as a nano carrier system. So this is one of Tony's papers that he put out, and I maybe a few months ago I did a video like reading out that paper. But basically the idea is that silica can be used as a delivery method to bind to anything that you want to deliver to the cells. The next thing, point seven, is that zeolite, according to some people and some experiments, actually don't remove heavy metals. And furthermore, the science that the research that claims that zeolite actually does remove heavy metals inside the human body, some people are very skeptical of that because they believe that the scientific methods are not actually professional. So in a lot of these research papers, what we find is that they're not using a control group. So instead of creating a group where they use the zeolite and a group where they don't use the zeolite, that's the control group to compare results. In a lot of these papers, they're actually not. A lot of these papers aren't independent. They're funded by a lot of these zeolite companies or manufacturers or harvesters.
Because
you'll hear a lot, actually, this concept of, organic, all-natural zeolite. Like, when I had these discussions with people in my local community selling this stuff, it's like, oh, no, but it's natural. It's natural. I know the people because it's excavated from basically extremely, extremely, extremely old volcanic, like 50 billion years ago or something. I don't know. Like old volcanoes.
Cyanide is natural.
Uranium is natural. Exactly. It's like, oh, it's organic, and I know the people, and they have a farm, and they harvest it from there. Like, okay, man, you take your natural uranium, your natural cyanide, and you know, we'll see where things go from there. But yeah, there's that element where does zeolite actually remove heavy metals? And here's the thing: even if somebody were to, and you know, I hope that this kind of list gives you a way of actually maybe hopefully saving some lives with this kind of way of looking at this. Okay, so you want to chelate heavy metals, right? Is it worth risking the 2% seed of doubt that these, you know, someone that you're trying to convince, is it worth in their mind that 2% seed of doubt? That's like, maybe this person's right. Maybe this is actually bad. Maybe I shouldn't be taking nano to solve nano and taking heavy metals to chelate heavy metals. Is it worth risking it? Because there are other chelators. I don't know much about chelation, but I have heard of DMSA, EDTA, cilantro, ALA, alpha lipoic acid. And what I do know, this is all I know about chelation, is that you have to respect the half-life, and you need to know what you're doing. And that's it. So, like, what's the point of taking nano that might not even work, that is most likely toxic because it's nano, that has all of these other horrible side effects? It's like, mm-hmm. why, when you could
we'll
just
talk,
use
we'll
something
about
that's probably more...
Yeah, in a moment, maybe we'll talk about some of those.
And for anyone that needs help, maybe, you know, trying to convince someone that's using this or taking it, in preparation for this, I quickly whipped up a page on my website, powerofthepulse.com/silica. That's all, /silica. And maybe in the future I'll add more to it and like make it an article. But right now I just have some definitions that you can refer to and some of the research papers. So I have pretty much almost every paper that you need to prove these 8 points. You can, I mean, these people that think they know what they're doing and they're woke and this and that, you just spam them, hit them with these whatever 7, 8, 10 papers, videos, and they won't even know what they're looking at. So it actually happens where they
find some creative way to feed them, the way that you know that they'll listen.
You can literally take any of them, go through and quote. I'll quote you from one of the papers I have in there on aluminium silicates. I think it's like the second or third link. Aluminium silicates, zeolite, are used in the preparation of a number of vaccines to adsorb, which means to attach, to antigenic components and to serve as an adjuvant that enhances the immune response. So according to Leon 1985 and Tom Yenovich and Shaw 2011 and Issa et al. 2014, according to these three papers from 1985, 2011, 2014, zeolite is added to vaccines. Huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting. I wonder why that would happen. It's to help us deal with the mercury that those vaccines also gave us, right? Or for example, I can come to the silicon dioxide nanoparticles induced neurobehavioral impairments. It's right there in the title. Yeah. But you can come down to the conclusion, and it says, not the conclusion, the results. Okay. What happened is that we caused neurobehavioral impairments and brain damage by silicon dioxide nanoparticles. We distinctively disrupted. A neurobehavioral impairment and brain damage is induced by silicon dioxide nanoparticles. Might be distinctively associated with the disruption. So this neurobehavioral impairment and brain damage and basically impairing our ability, our spatial memory, our ability to remember through the Morris water maze, to remember our memories of our space, of spaces that we've memorized. That is through disruption, probably disruption of gut-brain axis by specific chemical substances originated from the gut. This silicon dioxide is directly shutting off that communication, and also the communication between the cells and between the cell and the DNA. Tony Pantelaresco also talks about this. I actually prepared a clip to play of one of his most legendary videos, I think, talking about silica on his old YouTube channel, where he talks about that. But you can just open any of these. It's like, sometimes it's even in the title. It's that easy. Toxicity of aluminium silicates used in hemostatic dressings towards umbilical veins, endothelial cells. So that's endothelial cells are the cells that line the outside of blood vessels, if I remember correctly.
Did I put the link in right? powerofthepulse.com/silica?
Yeah. Did you find it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I just put it in the chat there.
Wonderful. Let me actually look at that page now and see if there's anything I can.
Yeah.
Paul says Cherie could be a speaker. Yeah. I mean, anybody. The invitation is out for a bunch of us who are helping Tony.
100%. Add Cherie. Let's hear her IDs on this. Because yeah, Cherie really knows what she's doing. I'm just like. If me and Cherie disagree, just listen to Cherie. It's obvious.
He's pretty knowledgeable. Let me just mention some of those chelators that you listed.
Mm-hmm. DMSA, EDTA, ALA, cilantro.
Yeah.
Yeah. DMSA is a good one. I use that for mine. I use that and EDTA. Let's see. Orally, I took DMSA, and in Canada, we had to have a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get it, where are you, Paul? Are you in the Canadian, aren't you? In the USA. Try a website called UBuy.
UBuy.com.
I know they have it, but they have low doses. EDTA, you can get done through IV. You can also take it orally yourself. So you would do kind of like you would with STS, like a teaspoon of EDTA, an equal amount of vitamin C powder and MSM powder. This is one of Tony's remedies, one that I've learned from him. You mix it with warm water and drink it before bedtime. You do that for like a few weeks. Make sure you load up on your supplements and probiotics the next day. What is DMSA? DMSA stands for dimer capdopsinic acid. Let me put it in the chat. Dimer capdopsinic acid. Not to be confused with DMSO. That can be used as a topical. You were talking about that earlier.
You know, that kind of sounds like clinoptilolite.
No, it doesn't.
No, I'm just saying dimer capdopsinic acid.
I guess if you say it fast enough.
No, I mean like in terms of how hard it is to pronounce, like it's just a weird word.
Yeah.
That way.
Yes, Vicky, you would have to replace electrolytes and supplements and minerals when you do that too. And then the more like gentle, quote, more natural chelators like cilantro and what's that other green one?
Chlorella.
Is chlorella?
You just take those on the
teeth. Is chlorella a good idea?
I haven't taken it
in a long time. I don't know. I think I would probably, if you're able to grow it yourself, the cilantro and the chlorella, then, you know, eat it.
Mm.
Eat it that way. I'm not sure how easy it is to grow. No, not chlorophyll. Different. Chlorella.
Chlorophyll. I thought chlorophyll is...
Did he say no? Tony said no to chlorella?
I think
maybe he did. I don't remember. But it's been a while since I took it, and I only took it for, I don't know, maybe six. I took it for like 6 months when I was doing the heavy, some serious heavy metal chelation a long time ago.
You have quite an incredible story, Fiona. I think maybe we should, I'd love to ask you more questions about that. And I think a lot of people would really benefit from, you know, hearing a full accounting on here.
Oh. What do you want to hear?
Well, how about
there's so much to go through.
How about we dedicate an episode to that? And if you like, know, I'd be happy to interview you in a kind of way and ask you about, you know, your whole process and how that went, and your whole journey. Because, yeah, I think it's very inspirational, but there's also some lessons in that.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I've learned lots and still learning. Vicky says parsley and cilantro. Yes, those are, I think, preferable to the chlorella for sure.
Yeah.
If you can grow it yourself or in a greenhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, does everyone...
I'm going to have to put a close to this, you guys, because I got to go and I'm hungry and my brain's fizzling out because this echo is starting to really get in my head.
Oh, I'm sorry for that. I'm not sure what's causing that.
I don't know. I think it's... Maybe we'll test it out sometime and I'll try to problem solve.
Yeah. But really, thank you for your time. Thank you for holding the fort down. You know, we all really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on and chatting and sharing your expertise too.
Awesome. It was a pleasure. Oh, and yeah. I think we need, sorry, 5 seconds. I think we need some final words from Tony, because, you know, he's in our prayers and we miss him a lot. But I think we need some final words from him to close off the session. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to hear this, but, you know, I keep an AI simulation of Tony in the back of my head, and sometimes he can come out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bring him up.
Nanu, Nanu. Oh, that's Tony, all right.
That's hilarious. I like it when he goes, oh.
Orgasmically organic. Ooh. Hang on a second. I think I've got Tony over here. 1 second.
Orgasmically organic. Ooh. That's orgasmic.
Did you hear that?
Oh, that's hilarious.
That AI model is great. We love Tony.
Awesome.
Tony's
okay. Don't worry. Health matters. We're just filling in for him while he's not well and making some changes.
Our prayers are with you,
Tony. Okay.
All right.
We'll try to make it for Wednesday, his regular time. Let's just kind of see how it goes.
All right.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you very much. And thanks to everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks to our Anti-Nano Pulsar community. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.